What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dirty Blondes. I am joined by my boozy bestie, Desiree. She is back for part, what is this? Part three of our series.
part trois.
So we haven't chatted in a while. So we're going to be doing a little catch up this episode, a little cougar catch up.
I love that you called it that too. I was like, I love that it's a cougar catch up.
Yeah. So what's new with you? What's been going on?
Oh my God. Just, you know, work and life. I live and work in a very tourist town. So here on the beach, it is the tourist season. And so literally my life is like work and more work. So, it is hot as blazes. Yeah. So I am so ready to just not be super bogged down with work so I can finally like spend some time on the beach. Cause that's the one huge perk about where I live is that the beach is right around the corner.
Nice.
So your girl's about to be obnoxious on Instagram, like every weekend with a cocktail on the beach where everybody's working in their offices. So, so literally it's just that, I've got family in town visiting, going into 4th of July weekend. So they are here for like 8 days and then they'll be here for the 4th. And then a bunch of, you know, like black folks, a bunch of grilling and cooking, playing spades.
So. Yes. Yep. Good old barbecues.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
With the potato salad without raisins from the crazy white people.
I genuinely for the Caucasoids listening, I want you to make a raisin potato salad because I don't know if that's like a myth. I just want to know if there's actually somebody who does it.
I think it's like a Midwest thing. It's like, you know, when salad, like, they put like salads with like the Jello mix and like, you know, all those like weird fucking salads that are like the Midwestern. Okay. I don't know what they're called. They just call them a salad. They're not really a salad.
Right.
So I think it's like, they just like add raisins to everything. I want to say it's something like along those lines.
Because for the longest time I was like, this has to be a joke, but yeah. I really believe that there are people that put raisins. So if you do, I'll try it. I mean, I'm going to judge the hell out of you to your face. And tell you all kinds of, you know, words, but I really want to try it. But yeah, no, I actually make an amazing potato salad. It's the first thing my fiance said about 4th was like, you're making potato salad, right? And I'm like, of course I am, babe. I got you.
Yeah. Well, you're more bold than me because I would definitely not try a raisin potato salad, but my mom makes a good potato salad. It's well, because even though my parents are white, they do season their food and know how to cook, luckily.
Oh, so. There you go. Shout out to your parents for knowing how to cook.
Yeah. They're doing actually a pig roast for 4th of July. So
nice.
Yeah. They do like the whole pig and yeah, it's going to be a huge, huge party. I think they're having 50 people over. So
nice. Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
Well, I am doing dry July like a crazy person.
Why?
Girl.
Are you okay?
I'm not okay. So it's so funny because whenever I tell people that, that's always a reaction. They're like, why? And I'm like, first of all, you guys know I do one sober month. I either do dry July or sober October.
Oh, okay.
I did sober October last year. So I'm doing dry July this year.
Okay.
But anytime I ever do dry July, I'm like, girl, the 4th. Why would you do that to yourself? Come on.
Well, holidays don't count, so, you know.
But like,
it's like, they don't count on a diet either.
Is that true?
Yes.
So I'm going to do dry July. So, and the good thing about it is there's some amazing brands that I've worked with before that have like really great non-alcoholic wines and beers. There's a non-alcoholic beer that I really enjoy. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, nice.
It's good to do a nice little detox. And my birthday is in August and I usually go a little balls to the wall for my birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is like a little detox before like happy 43rd birthday to me where I'm just like, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to be buying bottles of Patron. So the body needs it to prepare for the birthday month. So.
Well, there you go.
That's my logic. So.
Well, I will have some drinks for you.
Please do.
Actually, I haven't really been drinking that much either. Yeah, because Koala is like very much on the health kick and like he's gotten me to like work out with him and like he's been doing no sugar and like I know.
Oh God.
I just saw your face. I know. I'm working out now. I joined a gym. Yeah, I know. I know. Hell has frozen over. The world is ending. Yeah. Hell has frozen over. I've been to the gym a handful of times with him. Yeah, I have my podcast studio is now also half a gym. So it's crazy right now. But
so welcome to Stephanie's pre-engagement party podcast episode. Because you were 5 steps away from being married at this point.
Oh no, it's far off from that.
She's like, bitch, I'm going to the gym. I'll be like, girl, that's love.
No, I'm just a Libra and I adopt personalities of people I date. So,
oh my God, you are a Libra.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we have a tendency of like, you know, doing that with people. We'll like adopt the personality of the person that we're dating.
It's they
like
do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My so God.
That's what's happening currently. This is definitely not a pre-engagement party. Yeah. I mean, things are fine, but it's like, it's definitely not like going to progress to that. I don't think.
I mean, when you're sharing a gym membership, that's close to love.
I know. Yeah. He's a permanent guest of mine on my gym membership. And then he, like the whole studio, like my podcast studio is now, like I said, half his gym. So he is like in here all the time, just doing stuff. I had to remind him today. I was like, don't forget, I'm recording with Desiree at 7. So just be quiet when you come home from the gym and don't, because he usually like goes to the gym and then comes back and keeps working out. So I was, I know. He's trying to be a bodybuilder. So yeah, he's like addicted to the gym. Yeah.
All right. Well, it is called the Cougar Catch Up. Honestly, I know this is your podcast, but I really feel like I should be interviewing you because I need all of the tea from the last time you and I spoke. And we obviously chat in between whenever we record, but like,
right.
Girl, I feel like, girl, you're going to the gym. I didn't know. So I got my solo cup. I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, no, interview away. Ask whatever questions you have.
So first of all, so he's currently at the gym tonight. Is he making dinner? Are you doing dinner? Like, let's start tame. Let's start really boring with like dinner talk. Who's the one that cooks most? Oh, no, actually, I think you told me that it's mostly you.
It's mostly me. He has cooked for me a handful of times, which is funny because out of all the guys that I've kind of like dated or been seen for a period of time or whatever, we either order a lot of takeout or I end up doing the cooking just because, you know, I'm pretty advanced with my cooking. Like I can cook anything. So I usually just end up cooking for the guys that I date, but he likes to cook and, you know, he's kind of getting started. He's dabbling in it. Exactly. So he has a couple recipes that he has made me and everything's been really good. So, and I even said to him one night, I was like, wow, I was like, I've never let anyone else like cook in my kitchen. Like meaning like a guy that I dated, like I was like, no one else has like ever cooked here. So, so he got points for that because he definitely, and he'll help me too, if like I want help or if like he sees me struggling with something. So tonight for dinner, I think we ordered Chinese takeout last night. So I think we're just having the leftovers of that tonight. So.
I was about to say, has he started with like, okay, so we're going to do some quinoa and some steamed broccoli and some chicken.
He's okay. So he does bodybuilding, but he's not quite like a dirty bulker where like those are the guys that will eat like 6 cheeseburgers after the gym or like whatever. He's not like that. He does intermittent fasting. So he sleeps a lot during the day. So he just doesn't really eat throughout the day. He'll have like some liquid protein shakes and stuff. And then at night is when he has his like big meal at after the gym. So that's kind of like, I mean, my routine is obviously a little different. I'll have protein shakes and like lunch and stuff throughout the day because I'm up earlier than he is and usually at work. So, so there's that, but like, we try to eat like, you know, semi-healthy, like we're not eating like, you know, frozen pizza and stuff. Like I made like coq au vin the other night and, and like he wanted lamb stew, so I made that. So.
Okay. Martha Stewart. Jesus. She's like, I cook a little bit. Bitch making coq au vin and lamb stew. Okay. Goodness. You sure y'all don't want to get married? Cause that's like some wifey stuff that you're doing right now. I'm just saying.
See the ball's in his court. I mean, like at this point, I'm just like going with the flow. I'm just like so damaged from everything in the past. I'm just like, bah, whatever. Like whoever's like around is around, you know?
So with that said, like, cause obviously I feel like it's funny to see where you guys are right now, where in the beginning it was just like super light, super chill. It is. I don't know. Bitch is making coq au vin and going to the gym now.
Yeah.
So, where are you seeing this going and where are you maybe wanting it to go?
So it's my opinion about that has like kind of changed and there's been like ebbs and flows because obviously like we're living together now. He has been living here for 3 weeks. If you're not caught up on the episodes, he's 22. He still is in college. He took a couple years off to
he's a baby.
He really is. Yeah. So he took time off to get like his real estate license and get work experience. And then he started school late. So he's still in school. So he was getting into shit with like his parents and he just, you know, he was always over here anyway. So that it just made sense for him to just like unofficially move in. So obviously there's been some growing pains and, you know, I think I've been struggling a little bit with it because we aren't really, I mean, we're not really defined. Like, yes, he's living here and I'm, you know, his sugar mama, basically I'm paying for everything because he doesn't work right now. And he's just doing the whole bodybuilding thing and whatever.
No, no, no. I did not sign off on that.
Well, that's what's happening. So it's,
honey.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, he was in the crypto game for a while. And obviously everyone knows that's shit right now. And, you know, yeah. So, I mean, everyone's at a loss with that. Yeah. So he's definitely like behind and, you know, it is what it is. And it's, you know, for me, I'm just, I never really minded the whole sugar mama thing because it's like with him, it's not like he's sitting here, you know, gallivanting around town. And, you know, I mean, he's like, we cook together. We're together all the time when I'm not working and, you know, we do things together and it's, you know, so it's like, I'm getting, you know, benefits from it essentially. It's not like it's, I'm just like paying, he doesn't get an allowance, but it's like, if he's like, hey, can we get this for the house or like something? I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, let's get it. Like the home gym stuff. Cause I'm like, all right. Like that's something he's passionate about. And like, I want to like share some of his interests a little bit.
Like, I'm working out. I'm lifting a weight.
There yeah, exactly. Like he knows I'm never going to be like how he is, but it's like realistically. Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, he is leaving in August. He initially wanted to stay, but he was getting some pressure from his parents about not taking in enough classes. And he doesn't really do well with online classes because his ADD and everything. Yeah. So he does better in person, which I understand. I couldn't do online classes when I was in college. It was just not for me. So I totally get it. But it is a bummer because it's like, he is leaving, you know, but it's like at the same time though, it's, I had a listener ask me, I think on a Ask Me Anything or something on Instagram, like, are you guys exclusive? And I was like, well, like not really like, yeah, we're, you know, he like lives here and we're, you know, we're dating and we're always together, but I know he's still active on Bumble. Like I've seen him update his bio since like, and we've been together for almost like 4 months now, like 3.5 months. So
the scandalous part of that makes my skin crawl.
I know that's like, what a lot of people are like, are you okay? And it's like, there's days that I'm not okay with it. And yeah, like, cause I'll see like the Instagram follows and like, shit like that. But it's like, at the end of the day, I guess like I put it in perspective of he's living with me. He's on, you know, he's always here when I get home. It's not like he's like, oh, I'm going to go out and he's missing for hours. Like the only time he leaves is to go to the gym and it's going to the gym. Like he comes back sweaty and disgusting and like pumped up and whatever. So it's not like, you know, I'm like, the gym oh, he just went on a date
or something else. Yeah.
So it's like, because realistically it's, you know, I'm glad I know what I know. Cause I will be honest. I have done a little spying and sleuthing cause that's just like, you know, toxic behavior on my part.
And we're going through phones now. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I just definitely have done a little bit of that just, you know, cause for me, I think it's, you know, it's not necessarily anything against him specifically. It's just all of the shit that I've dealt with in the past. Yeah. And for me, I would rather know kind of what I'm getting into ahead of time. And I definitely have been told that I'm crazy from a friend because they're like, I can't believe you're going through like, and doing this stuff that you're doing. It's not healthy. And I was like, I know it's not healthy, but I'm like, to me, sometimes it's a little bit of a game. Cause I, my ex, he was a pathological liar and I would catch him in lies all the time. So I would like almost like bait him to lie. Like I would ask him questions and like, then I would, like I would get this like high almost. It was very sick. It's like,
super toxic, but okay.
100%. Yeah, no, I know. So I have therapy tomorrow. So I'm going to like disclose to her that I've been like super sleuthing and spying and whatever. But yeah, I definitely was feeling anxious for a bit, but I think now that I kind of just, I'm like, all right, like realistically he's leaving in August. And I mean, he did say that he wants to come back and, you know, like, you know, when he's in town and he wants to come visit and all that kind of stuff, he does want to still see each other. But I do know that he's like entertaining girls back where he's at school. So I'm just kind of like, all right, like part of me doubts myself. Cause I'm just like, all right, is he just in this for like the whole sugar mama thing? And does he even like me or like, does he see this as like a long-term thing, but he's just trying to get through school and, you know, cause he's in his 20s and he just wants to get his dick wet when he can, like, you know, which whatever, it's like, we're all human, but I just like, yeah, that's like where, that's where my head goes all the time. I'm just kind of like bouncing around of like, well, like, I'm his main person right now. So mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. And then I'm like, oh no, like, but who's he going to be seeing when he's at school? You know? So it's just like, yeah. my head's constantly scrambled with all the bullshit.
I think there's just like a lot that's unknown right now. You know, there's yeah. a lot of, this is kind of what it is right now. Then you've got August, which has kind of a looming deadline feeling yeah. to it with him going back to school. I mean, honestly, are you guys exclusive? No. So then to be on Bumble is kind of like,
it's fair. Allowed. I still have my it's Bumble fair. And Hinge. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair like, until like we're exclusive. You're my man. I'm your girl. Right. Boom. Okay. Then the apps are gone. Their apps are deleted. Right. I think it's the only ick factor for me is when you're doing that and like you're living in my place.
I know. Yeah. Like, it's like, I mean, it's like he doesn't do it when I'm around. Like he's not doing it like while I'm sitting next to him or anything. It's
but
like,
if you're not doing crack next to me, you're still doing crack?
I know. Yeah. You're right.
No.
You're right.
You're I'm not right. a crackhead I mean, in front of you, but I'm a crackhead around the corner. Girl.
Yeah, no, I know. It's definitely, I mean, every person who knows about it is just like, Stephanie, like, you've got to get out. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, he always just talks longer term in the sense of like, he definitely is a little bit more paranoid about the whole mm-hmm. kind of like, what's happening in the world of just like the doomsday kind of esque shit. So he was like, oh, he's like, there's going to be, he had told me about the food shortages that were happening prior to them actually like hitting the news. He was like, there's going to be food shortages, all this stuff. So he was like, do you like, can we get some things for it? And I was like, okay. Cause we were at Costco, like meaning like extra like rice and like, you know, just like some dried goods. And I was like, okay. I'm like, whatever. Cause I'm like, whatever. It's stuff I use. I can always use it like down the road if I need to.
Oh my God. And- is he a doomsday prepper?
He not like a major doomsday prepper, but like he definitely he definitely was panicking about the food situation. So I was like, okay, like whatever. I'm like, for me, it's like one of those things where I'm just like, it's not bothering me. And you know, I'm like, whatever, if that's going to make him happy, like fine. I'll feed into it for a minute. So in any case, we did a little like extra shopping just, you know, for these potential shortages that were happening. So he like talks like future like that, you know, he's like, oh yeah. He's like, well, at least we have stuff like in case anything happens or whatever. And I'm like, all right. Like, so I guess he's thinking that far ahead, but I'm just like, also like, he's, you know, he's really not, because he had like word vomited to me the other day. We were laying in bed and he was like, yeah, he was like, he said something about me going somewhere. And I was like, where the hell am I going? I was like, I live here. Like, what do you mean? Like, where am I going? He's like, well, I don't know what's going to happen when I leave. Like, you know, what if you meet someone or what if I meet someone, like whatever. And I was like, okay, like I'm well still going to be here, you know, like what, like, and he was like, I don't know. He was like, I think he's just like a little bit overthinking. Cause we did get into a little bit of a spat at one point, because he saw a notification come up on my phone and he thought it was a Snapchat notification. Like he thought someone added me. So he lost his shit about that.
Why would that be a problem though?
Well, because it was a guy that he thought added me and he, which I never used Snapchat. So I didn't even like see the notification. I didn't, and I opened it and I showed him and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like I literally, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I ended up crying because I had just come home from a birthday party and aww. I was wasted. And I was like, it was so, I was just so blindsided by it. So it was just, it was
such
a
horrible combination.
Yeah. And he was high and paranoid. So it was just, it was literally the worst combination ever. So I'm hysterically crying and I'm like, I don't know why you would say that, like whatever. So this was like a couple months ago. And, yeah. So he had just said like, he definitely has like an ego and he was just like, I just like, he apologized the next day and he was like, I'm really sorry. Like that wasn't my intention. He was like, he's like, look, we were both fucked up. And I said, I definitely didn't handle that as well as I should have, you know, like I could have had an adult conversation and said, I just like reverted to crying and being like dramatic.
Yeah.
So, so we both like were accountable, but he was just like, look, he was like, I just like, you know, I just was like, why isn't she into me? And I was like, obviously I'm into you. You're at my house all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else to say to it.
You're living here and not paying rent. So I feel like that's a big indicator that I'm into you.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what else to say, like to make you understand that, you know? So, but on the flip side, then it's like, he's sitting there entertaining all these other people and whatever, like via text and whatever, which is exactly.
So how do you have the balls to sit here and be like, some guy supposedly added you on Snapchat? Like, the math doesn't math to me when people do stuff like that.
Right. And he doesn't even know. It could have been like a cousin. Not that I have, you know, whatever, but it like, it could have been. So it's like,
it could be a coworker.
Right. Exactly. So it was just, you know, that was just kind of like annoying. And it just brought me like flashbacks to kind of like my ex, like dealing with his craziness, because it was like, and other situations that I've been in the past where guys have been like, oh, well, you can't see other people, but I can. And I'm just like, no, that's not how it works. And I told him that. I told him that when he kind of like word vomited to me, like his concerns about him going back to school. And I said, look, I was like, if you act single, I'm going to act single. I said, that's it. I said, I'm going to match your energy. I said, if you want to fuck around and not reach out to me and whatever, I said, then you do you. Go ahead.
I'm going to do the same thing. Exactly. Right.
I said, I did long distance for 10 years. I am the most loyal person ever. I was like, I'm good, you know? So I was like, if that's what you want, then great. But I was like, if not, like, then we don't have to do this either. Mm-hmm. But he was just, you know, he's definitely a little like narcissistic too with the whole bodybuilding thing. Like he's very like always staring in the mirror, which like, whatever, I'm a Libra. I get it. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm. You're also like, I appreciate it too on the outside.
100%. Yeah. I love it. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like part of the time it's like an ego boost because, with my ex, he used to do that. I feel like he would try to do things like that to like, just get like an extra sense of like self-esteem almost, you know, it's like, oh, I'm wanted by all these like random people and whatever, even if he was never going to do anything, like he just wanted to be able to like, you know, say, oh, I could pull this person if I wanted
to. Yeah. And that does seem extremely not only toxic, but narcissistic. And that's something you just have to be careful about. So.
Oh, 100%. It's definitely, well, he disclosed to me the other day that he had this kind of like outburst and was having a bad day. And he had disclosed to me that he thinks that he might be bipolar. So obviously with my past, with my ex, it's
like, girl, the red flags went off and you were like, holy fucking shit.
Well, some things made sense. Cause I was just like, cause sometimes like he would always say to me, like, you're so patient with me and like, whatever. And like, for me in my head, I was always like, oh, like if you only met my ex and like see what he put me through, like shit, like this is nothing. You know what I mean?
It's a cakewalk.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. After dealing with that motherfucker, I could deal with serial killers at this point. He was so fucking crazy, you know?
Jesus.
So he had disclosed that to me and I was like, oh, I was like, so much of this is making sense now. Cause I wasn't even thinking that because it wasn't extreme. Like my ex had so many other issues, you know? So, Koala doesn't have, you know, all of the issues that he had, but he just said that like in kind of passing. And I was like,
my God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And it kind of like the light bulb went off and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So
with him saying that and you kind of going, okay, I see these things, I'm putting two and two together, it makes a little sense. Do you see yourself kind of redirecting how you look at this kind of situationship you have going on and you're a little bit more proactive as to how you're treating it?
Yeah. I mean, well, cause you know, John has obviously expressed his concerns, you know, and he's just kind of like, you know, he's my friend. He's been through there. He's been through every situationship, relationship, fling, whatever, like since he's known me. Cause he knew my ex when we were on like the tail end of our relationship. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of was like, all right, like, what are you doing? Like, you're not his mom. It's not your responsibility. But for me, I feel for him because I've been through it. And also like, he's been dealing with a little bit of depression, obviously, and like all that kind of stuff. And I see a lot of myself in him. So I feel like if anything, like, look, even if this doesn't work out in the long term, like if I'm just brought into his life, maybe to like help him through things or realize things or whatever, be like a support system. Cause I didn't have that really when I was in my 20s, when I was going through stuff, like, you know, I was very good at putting on a mask, but my friends never, like, I was gaining serious weight. I was seriously drinking. Like, it was just not good. And no one was checking in on me. Mm. And, you know, so
and
it's
you're
like,
doing that for him. So I see that.
Yeah. So it's like, not that he's having like a drinking issue or anything like that. He doesn't even drink, but yeah, I feel like I said to John, I was like, I feel like I see a lot of myself in him. So I feel like I, you know, it's not my responsibility, but I'm already this invested in him and like, whatever, even if we just end up friends, like that's fine, you know, but, I mean, yeah, I do like him and it's, you know, I mean, I would obviously, I mean, I've spent this much time and like even money and, you know, whatever this is. So it's like, yeah, I would love to like, you know, see this through like at least a little further than it has gone, but I mean, whatever, we'll see. I just like, I just keep saying to myself, I'm like, I was fine after all these like post, you know, these bad breakup things that I went through, and I made it through, and I'm fine. And it's going to be the same way with this. Like, yeah, there's going to be days that I'm really sad about it. Like when he goes back, or
we
have a huge blowout and break up and like, don't talk again or whatever. Like, it's going to suck, but I mean, that's life, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Has he met your family?
He has. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a couple of my friends. Yeah.
Now that's a big thing for me. Like, I just don't introduce guys to my family willy nilly.
So he's the first guy that's ever met my parents. Like ever. What?
Oh my God. That's huge.
My ex didn't even meet my parents. Like,
that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Oh.
And they haven't said anything about it. Like, my parents don't like nag or ask or anything like that. Like, they're just like, you know, I just like, I told my mom, I was like, oh yeah, I'm bringing someone to, like, they had a Memorial Day party. So yeah. I had brought him along, and my mom was just like, okay. And like, you know, my mom, she's like the type of person where all my friends call my parents mom and dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so it's just, you know, like my parents treat everyone like they're, you know, like they've known them for a million years. So for him, he was definitely a little nervous. Cause like, as we were driving there, he's like, well, like, what if like someone asks, like, what are we? I'm like, my parents are not going to ask that, like, at all. I'm like, you don't have to worry. And he's like, well, we're seeing each other. Right. And I'm like, yeah, like, yes, yes, we are. Like, I'm not calling you my boyfriend. Like, relax.
We are in fact dating. So you go.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. So that was like kind of funny, but yeah. So he met them, and he's talked to my mom on the phone a couple of times, like, cause we were in my car one time. So she was on Bluetooth, and then, they live on the beach. So we were going to use their place to go fishing and, you know, go use the beach and everything. So he was like talking to her, like he like grabbed my phone and was like chatting with her. So I was like, all right, like whatever. So it's like, he does things like that, that I'm just like, all right, like maybe he is a little bit more serious. Like,
that's
maybe
endearing.
Like, yeah, but I'm just kind of like, also too, like, I'm not going to just like wait for him to finish school, because he's going to a school in Orlando now. And then he wants to go to an actual, like, you know, university, like a bigger university down the road. So I'm just like, all right, like, I don't like, and it's going to be even further away. So that's why I'm just like,
and that's the thing is, like, how much do you want to invest in this, knowing the way the trajectory is going to be, like, starting in August? Like, that's a big commitment to sit here and say, okay, is this what I want to invest in now? But at the same time, I can also see the perks of being like, well, until August gets here, boo boo, I'm having a great time.
Well, and that's the mindset I have now, because I was getting really worked up. I was working myself up so much about just like, oh my God, like, is he seeing other people, or is he, you know, like what, like what's happening? Like, does he even really like me? Is he just using me? You know, all these like crazy thoughts I have that were going through my head. And I just had to take a step back and just remind myself of all the shit that I've been through, and just be like, look, you're happy now, live in the moment, stop thinking so far ahead, because you're ruining a good time before you, like, you're missing the good stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're missing the good stuff in the moment because you're so upset and worried about what's going to happen in a month. I could die going to work tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Why would you say that?
Luckily, I'm actually off tomorrow, but
you're like, it's not going to happen because I'm not going to work. Thank you.
But you know what I mean. So it's just, I just like, I was like, I have to stop like putting all this pressure, because, you know, I have to practice what I preach. I say it like that kind of shit on the podcast all the time. And it's, I get it. It's so easy to get in your head and like, you know, turning the wheels and, you know, falling down this rabbit hole of what ifs. And my therapist had said, she's like, they're just intrusive thoughts. Like, you know, you just have to, like, you know, she's like, you're enjoying yourself now. And she's like, generally you have a really good outlook on what's going on. So she was like, just keep that energy, and, you know, like we'll get through it, basically. So,
and I think the fact that you know that they're intrusive thoughts, because that's actually one of the things that I talked to my therapist about a lot. And shout out to all of us who are going to therapy, by the way.
Yes, I encourage it so much, because even like with this kind of stuff, you never, like, it just never stops. Like, you're always going to have those things that bubble
up. It never does. And so, one of the things that we were talking about one of our last sessions is that I am so proud of the fact that I'm now at this age and at this stage in my life where I can sit here and be like, I know for a fact you are an intrusive thought. I know where you're coming from. I know the root of where this is coming from.
Yep.
It's frustrating that you're here in my head and you're kind of ping-ponging around, but I can at least sit here and be like, okay, that's what it is. Whereas, you know, 27-year-old me would go down a friggin' rabbit hole of depression and nausea and just all sorts of fucked up things, not realizing that those thoughts can just be managed just as easy as they come in your head. So yeah. I think the fact that you recognize that is definitely a good thing.
It is. And it's really like, I had to do a lot of work 1 week because him and I didn't really see each other. It was before he like officially like moved in kind of. And, his parents were out of town. So he was taking care of the family dog and we just didn't really see each other and we weren't talking much. And I was very in my feels. I was like, what, like, and of course I was panicking. My initial panic was, oh, he's shacked up with someone else or he's seen someone else. And then I literally sat here at one point and I was like, Stephanie, all of his shit is here. Like his clothes are here. It's like, you know what I mean? Like he had stuff here, like personal stuff that it wasn't like stuff that I just bought him. It was like personal stuff.
His
like,
stuff is there.
Right. So I'm like, okay, he's coming back. Like, so I had like this whole like abandonment thing happening. Like it was just, there was a lot happening. And that's when I finally was just like, okay, you got to fucking snap out of this. Like you're going to be fine. You literally went through a horrible toxic relationship with a fucking bipolar alcoholic with PTSD who was borderline schizophrenic for 10 years. You did that. Like you can get through.
Girl,
this.
You can this do this. Summer fling. You can do this. This man is a child. You can do this.
Exactly. Exactly. So, so yeah, so it's definitely a lot is still up in the air. And I just like, I really haven't wanted to have any type of conversation with him about it. Like he's brought things up to me and he definitely has been more vocal with me of like, I'm really going to miss you or like, I don't want to go and things like that. So I've just been kind of letting him kind of lead the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could wrap it up with the obvious in the world if you want to.
Okay.
Cause I don't know if you've talked about this in your podcast and my fiance and I were like, bitch, we're about to sit down and talk about this. But like, so one of the things that I'm in a text chain with two of my coworkers that I actually enjoy socializing with outside of work. And one is a mom who recently had a medical abortion. And then another one is a lesbian who's like, well, I wasn't in a rush to have kids in the first place, but great to know that you guys really just kind of ruined it for me. And I think the one thing that we all had in common in being different walks of life, you know, a mom who had a miscarriage, a lesbian, and me, a hetero woman who actually had a hysterectomy a few years ago for medical reasons. And also because I never had a desire to procreate.
Right.
I think the one thing that we just saw was the comfort that we at least saw in some of our close family and friends groups, where there were people who were on both sides of the fence who were at least able to have communication. And it's like, that's kind of what you want in life in a beautiful utopian society is be able to have those people that have that kind of communication and be like, I feel this way. It's different from you, but I'm willing to hear you out.
Right.
The thing I think that scares me so much about like hard, staunch pro-lifers and Christian evangelicals is like, you can't even have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying to me.
It is. Yeah. It's like with some people, and not just with abortion, it's all different topics. If people aren't ready to listen or don't want to hear the truth, they won't. You could literally, I know people in my life that they could be like, the sky is purple. And I could sit there and say, the Bible says it's blue. There's scientific proof that it's blue. Every single person on this planet is saying it's blue. And they could be like, no, it's purple. Like if people aren't willing and ready to listen, there's just no even point arguing with them, you know? And for me, you know, am I upset about the overturn? Absolutely. I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous, but I am not one of those people that gets super worked up about things. Like I'm like, as far as, you know, going to march or call my senator, like I just, cause I think I have a very different view on things than most people. Like I just live here and I'm just like, okay, I think there's nothing that we can do really. Like we have such little control. Like they make us believe that we have, you know, rights and all these things. And I'm just like, I don't think there's like a whole lot we can do, which is unfortunate. I mean, I keep hearing all these things on the news of like, I just saw this, headline today where it was, I forget what state it was in, that teachers are now allowed to lead their students in prayer,
the Supreme Court just passed that today.
So it's like,
teachers and athletes. And I was like, this is an interesting week.
Right. So it's like, this is all what's happening. And it's just, you know, it just, it sucks. And it's just, you know, I just, I don't know. I think it sucks for everybody, but I just also think that like, we're kind of stuck, you know? Yeah. And I for my own like sanity and blood pressure, like I don't immerse myself into the news and those types of things. Like I educate myself enough so I can like talk to people about it, but I can't like for my own well-being. Cause I see people get so visibly angry and whatever. And I'm just like, I can't live like that. I've lived like that before. That's why I'm just like, now I just have to like, I just am like, all right, this is the new reality, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just try to adjust and adapt, even though I shouldn't have to. Like, it's, yeah, this shouldn't be anything that we're adjusting and adapting to. Like, yeah, what I do with my body is my choice,
it's,
you know,
but choice.
It's,
I think, yeah, and that's the thing. I think for the people that get visibly upset on either side of the aisle,
right?
One of the first things I always go to is, where is that necessarily coming from? Mm-hmm. Because you can be that person who, you know, we haven't, it's one of the reasons why I'm not very vocal on Facebook, is because I knew as soon as this was happening and this was trending that I can pinpoint certain people will go on Facebook and it's going to be all these Bible quotes and everything, but that's the extent of the fury that they're going to have. It's like, okay, well, if you really feel that strongly, then what are you doing for your local legislator? And what are you doing for your senator? And what are you doing?
Right.
And that's my thing. I kind of take a similar approach to you, but I've also have always come, especially in the women in my family, mm-hmm, from a very smartly political side where it's like, you can't sit here and complain unless you're doing something.
So 100%.
My action is, oh, okay, it might not directly affect me because I've had a hysterectomy, but right, here's what I'm going to do politically. And right, here's who I'm going to show my support to. And here's who I might even, you know, canvas for or right, have a flyer in front of my house. And then also I'm very much coming from like a sales marketing background. I'm very much put your money where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. So have I made a bunch of donations lately? Yes, ma'am, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to go ahead and put money out there. Now, I don't necessarily believe so much in the, well, you've got to stop supporting these businesses. Cause it's like, I kind of take your approach where it's like, the only way that works is if millions of us like stop shopping at Costco. I think Costco is one of those companies right, that sends a bunch of money to politicians that are pro-life.
All of that. Every corporation, like, they're all so intertwined. It's, I mean, it's crazy. That's why I'm like, insane. Everything's so connected. Like
it's insane. Like it would like millions and millions and millions of us would have to do that. But yeah, what I can do rather than stopping is I can then support causes that are really important. So right, have there been three charities in particular in the past, like 48 hours, I've been like, here's my money, here's my money, here's my money. Because right, $50 here, $100 here is definitely going to go towards the greater good. Mm-hmm. There's this one company, I think it's called Styx, where you can buy, it's emergency contraceptive. And okay, then for everyone that you buy, a free one is sent to someone who can't afford it.
Oh, nice.
And I'm nice, like, okay, you're 100% getting my money. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah,
things like that, you know, I use your anger, your frustration smartly versus the people who are going to make a shit ton of TikToks and not do anything. Right.
Exactly.
And a million Bible verses. I mean, the right, day it passed, it was almost entertaining because I grabbed my phone and I was like, I already know five people in particular. So let's see how bad it is. And I pulled it up and sure enough, I was like, and we're putting the phone away.
Yeah.
This is exactly my point.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I was, I think I was definitely less upset than some people around me. I mean, I knew it was coming. I knew, yeah, you know, I knew it was coming. And
when the leak came out, when they first mentioned the leak, I was like, yeah, there's no way. Like,
yeah, 100%. And I just, I saw, I mean, just with everything that's been going on in this world lately, like, I'm just like, does it surprise me? No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Should we be living like this? Absolutely not. But like, it's not surprising either. So I just, yeah, I'm one of those people where I just kind of accept things and then I adjust and adapt because I just, like I said, I've lived in that, you know, that mental insanity before where I'm just like angry about everything and like, it's just not healthy,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And especially when it's something that like we can't control. Like, I mean, when so many people in this country are saying that it's, you know, wrong what they did, even people mm-hmm. in DC are saying it's wrong what they did. Mm-hmm. If they're going to, if you have what a handful of people saying, oh yeah, no, this should be changed. Like they're not listening to the mass majority. So that's, mm-hmm. that's why I'm like, we don't really have rights. Like we, mm-hmm. you know, we do allegedly, but it's like, yeah, you know, it just is, yeah, it sucks, but I'm hoping that, you know, they can change it or at least at, you know, state levels, they start doing different things, but mm-hmm. so much shit has already been passed. I heard like Ohio passed something today that was like really horrible for ectopic pregnancies,
so
I think.
Many things have been passed. There have yeah. been so many things. I think it was Yahoo had a really great article that was like where each state is at the moment. And there are some states that literally were like 14 to 30 days after Roe v. Wade is overturned. They're like drastically changing their plan. Like there's so much. So did yeah. I take a mental note of the states where I was like, this is clearly where I need to move because yeah. I currently live in Florida and
yeah.
My governor is terrifying. So I'm like, I don't think I'm staying here very long, but I'm originally from Georgia and I'm like, I don't know. I need legal weed. I need people not to tell me what to do with my body. And I need great tax credit on land. I don't know what state that is, but that's where I need to be.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, it's, I mean, it's crazy too. When I was, Nevada. I was watching a TikTok the other day and it was, people were saying the same thing about, passports. Like this lady was like, she went in to get a passport pictures and at CVS or something. And the lady was like, oh, you're like my 20th person today. Like everyone's getting passports. And she's like, yeah, lady, like look at what's happening in the world. And this was pre-turnover, you know, this was like months ago. I had seen this TikTok, but it was because all of this stuff was, you know, starting to, you know, unravel and expose itself. And yeah, it's just, it's a crazy, crazy time. I just like, I don't know. It's weird.
Cause I have my top two. If you're like, fuck it, United States, I am out. Where would you go? Cause I have two places that I'm like, got it.
Well, John and I were joking about this. We always joke about it because we're like, oh, we should just like up and leave. Like we should just like go like sell coconuts on a beach or something. I said to him the other day, I was like, let's go to Italy. I was like, I love like in the Mediterranean, like going there. And he was like, I can't deal with cold. He was like, they have winter. Like he's a Florida boy. So he doesn't like the cold. But I was like, all right, well, I'm like, I don't know where else we would go then. He said Bali. I think it's like really cheap to live there once you get there.
Oh yeah. Once you get there, it's amazingly cheap.
Yeah.
It's amazingly cheap.
Yeah. Just really anywhere tropical where, you know, I would be able to lay at the beach and like live nicely. So I'm not like necessarily super picky, but as long as the food is good and my place is nice and there's a beach by and water, then I'm fine. You know, I could live anywhere.
I like those. I especially love Bali. Bali is like my top two bucket list destinations next to Italy. And it's something I've researched for years because it definitely is like to get there cost an arm and a leg, but to stay there and live there is quite inexpensive.
Yeah.
So my thing is I that's like the dream of like long-term retirement is either Bali or Grand Cayman because the whole Caribbean US Virgin Islands is just chef's kiss. Right.
Yeah.
But I currently have like a lot of health issues. So when it comes to thinking about that and just thinking about okay, longevity till when I get to that nice, hot, great grandma age of being able to be on a beach and retire. Yeah. I was like, okay, I need to be practical. So Canada's looking good for your universal healthcare. Your girl's loving that. And then the UK. So that was the other place where I was like, I was an exchange student, lived there, still have tons of friends there. I can kind of go. And then also looking on a job standpoint, I was like, I could do either one. Probably more inclined for the UK, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because Canada can be really cold, at least UK cold is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And there's not so much like snow. But yeah. And then I remember talking to my fiance and was like, my passport is good. So I don't know about you, buddy, but you know, I'm looking through it.
Yeah.
But at the very least, Nevada is definitely a state that I'm considering. Cause
really?
Yeah. Between weed, their stance on abortion, their stance on, well, I think their land taxes are pretty crazy in some places. But there was a couple of things I saw listed for Nevada that I was like, Vegas? I mean, outside of Vegas?
My grandparents used to live in Lake Tahoe when I was growing up. That was, I mean, that's like you got the mountains and the snow and stuff, but it's cool. It's a cool place.
I could do a combination of that. I just wouldn't, I mean, if I do it and I open my own brothel, would that be a bad thing? No, not at all.
No. Oh my God. I could totally see you owning a brothel. Right? Oh my God. I would love that. You have to do it.
I would own a brothel. I'd have a podcast. I would have it own my own Netflix series. And
oh my God, please do it.
And
start packing.
Not only that, I would require the girls that work there to be on a time period where they're only there for a certain amount of time while also simultaneously getting their graduate degrees.
Oh my God. Oh like, my God.
I want them to be entrepreneurs. I want them to take note as Jenna Jameson. I want them to be able to have control of their images, their photos, their videos. So it's like you do two. It's like basically a sex junior college.
Oh my God. You have to do this.
Go
this is
there,
amazing.
Work 2 years, but in those 2 years, you're also getting degrees.
Yeah.
And I want these girls to be like killing it in the crypto game with like real estate licenses and then like literally graduate with your 12,000 dick and then like a degree. Like I'm the Mother Teresa of friggin' brothels as well.
Oh my God. You should totally do it. What was that show on HBO years ago? That was the brothel.
The Bunny Ranch.
Bunny Ranch. Yeah.
The Bunny Ranch. I used to love that series.
I did too. It was so interesting.
I was fascinated.
Yeah. It was so interesting. You need to like do like Bunny Ranch, but like times 1,000, because it would be so much better if you did it.
I want these. And then I want them to do it like 2 years. And it's like, I don't want you to be doing this when you're 60 years old. I want you to do this and then freaking have your own set of brothels and like open your own shit.
Oh my God.
Next thing you know, there are women that are freaking future senators and they're like, she started as a brothel. And it's like, yeah, she did. She has a master's in real estate and a doctorate in political science. Fuck you, Orrin Hatch. Like, no, that's what I want.
Oh my God.
I don't know what I would call it, but that's exactly what I want for the future of America.
Oh my God. No, you have to do it. That's amazing. That's amazing.
I'm going to tell my fiance that we're going to leave Florida and go to Nevada.
Literally start packing. Tell them to get boxes. Go out and get boxes after dinner.
Hey, we're moving to Nevada. Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I love that though. That's like, that's such a great, like, because it's like people do like, I think with, especially with TikTok and the whole like stripper talk part of it, everyone was like, oh, I want to do it. And then it's like, you know, you make good money doing that, of course, but it's like, at what point do you stop, you know? And then what do you fall back on after you do that? You know, for a lot of people, they don't know.
I've always been, like you said, with the Bunny Ranch and just a lot of things, especially when it comes to sex workers, I've always been intrigued by the idea of what do you do afterwards?
Right.
There are those great documentaries of, what was it, After Porn Ends or When Porn Ends.
I haven't seen it.
I think they're both on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And they're great because it talks about like these girls who get out of porn and then afterwards it's like, what the fuck do you do?
Right.
And I've always just really been fascinated by that. And so that's why people like Jenna Jameson, who took a stance and was like, I'm going to own my images. I'm going to own my videos because that's the only way when you got out, you got control because the companies owned by mostly men took all that. And I was like, that's fucked up.
Well, that's like the music industry. Like I remember my mom telling me years ago, the Beach Boys, they don't make any money off their songs because whoever their manager was, I think it was a relative or something, you know, sold the rights to it basically. Yeah. So those guys, they did all that work toward made it, you know, all those songs and hits and whatever. They, as far as I know, I mean, I don't know if anything's changed, but they don't get money anytime their songs are played. Like that sucks. Like they're the ones who sang it, you know, it's just, it's shitty. It's shitty how the entertainment industry can be. So,
So the moral of the story is take control of your own shit.
Yeah.
Trademark everything, get an LLC, like
100%. Yeah. You definitely have to.
Exactly.
Definitely have to. All right. Well, I know you have to head to dinner soon. So it was nice to do a little
catch up.
It was nice to do a little catch up. And we're going to do another episode soon, actually, because you did have a listener write in a really good question. And I don't want to say it now, but we're going to do a whole separate episode about it because I have a lot to say. You shared the question with me. So get excited for that because it's going to be a good one. And hopefully
it's a juicy one. It's a really, really juicy one too.
Yeah. So that should be fun. So TBD on when that will be, but well, all right. Well, thanks so much for hopping on and
thank you for having
me. Yeah, of course. Of course. I love our little chats and just go follow Desiree and I have her tagged in a million things and follow her blog and you'll see her back very soon. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
So.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks guys.
You're welcome. All right, guys, have a good day. I will talk to you later. Bye.